to Check It In with Joetta, the show that is all about you. Tune in live every Wednesday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, where I am the host, four-time Olympian, author, motivational speaker, and businesswoman, also known as Madam Olympian. Check It In with Joetta is an interactive show that will discuss topics about business, finance, education, sports, entrepreneurship, health, and wellness. The call number for the show is always the same number, 646-787-1680. That's 646-787-1680. You can call, you can text, you can tweet at Joetta Olympian, or you can email us at joettaevents@yahoo.com. Call, text, email your friends, let them know that we have a show going on at the top of the hour, 9 Eastern Time, but wherever you are, if you're on this show, then that means it's about to go down. We have a great show this evening. It's called Spike or Pump, Still Successful. Spike or Pump, Still Successful. Our guest for the show this evening, you got it, Gail Devis, Olympian, author, businesswoman, mother, wife. She does it all. She can do it in spikes, and she can do it in her pumps. But we need you to call in, 646-787-1680. This show is live, interactive, and if it's on your mind, then we want to talk about it. So, again, I'm Adam Olympian. You're checking in with Joetta, the show that's all about you. Call in, 646-787-1680. Happy New Year. We will not have any calls tonight. Please listen, but no call-ins. Thank you. Enjoy your evening. The Matthew J. Moran Health Assessment Center for Athletes provides education, evaluation, and assessments of sports injuries and sports-related cardiac and concussion screening. Barnabas Health serves more pediatric patients than any other healthcare organization in New Jersey. Please visit the Matthew J. Moran Health Assessment Center. You can call 973-322-7913, or you can visit barnabashealth.org, BarnabasHealth.org, barnabashealth.org. Horizon NJ Health is the leading Medicare and New Jersey family care plan in the state and the only one backed by Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey. They have great benefits for their members, and they are one of the largest providers in New Jersey. Horizon NJ Health has one of the largest networks of doctors, specialists, and hospitals available. If you want dental care, they have that as well. Please call 1-800-637-2997 to enroll, or you can visit horizonnjhealth.com. Good evening, and welcome back to Check It In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. I am Madam Olympian, and I'm live in the studio, and we have a special guest that will be on the air with us, and we want you to call in, 646-787-1680, Spikes or Pump, Still Successful. These lines are loaded, and we have a guest that will be on the line with us right now. Welcome to the show. Gail Devis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We have a lot to talk about, and an hour is not enough time, but guess what? That's all we have this evening. But we're going to try and get as much in as possible. I will try and share you with the guests that are on the line. So without too much being said, welcome to Check It In with Joetta. We have on the line Gail Devis, Olympian, great athlete, businesswoman, entrepreneur, and she has a new book that she will talk about, My Life and Story, Stronger. So we have a lot to talk about. But before we start, Gail, on this show, we have something called Clark Associations. What I do is I give you a word, and then you come back and you say whatever comes to your mind. And you're going to have 10 of these. So are you going to
okay? I think.
You'll be fine. You've run many races, so this is a piece of cake for you.
Okay.
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, where I was born.
Okay. UCLA.
Bruins.
Okay. 1993, Stuttgart, Germany.
Oh, World Championships.
Okay. November 19th.
The best day, my birthday.
So you got this under control. I knew you would. Graves' disease.
A disease that I suffer with.
Okay. Persistence.
Oh, something I try to do every day.
All right. Every day. Summer of 1992.
Olympic Games.
Okay. You're getting this. Gail Devers, My Life in Story, Stronger.
My book.
Family?
Oh, a lot of it. No, I have kids.
Okay, kid. And then the final drum roll with question number 10, Yolanda Gail Devers.
That would be me.
That would be you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the line, we're going to call it Gail Devers, but I bet you many of you did not know that first name. So this show is very informative. We talk about many things on this show, and we're going to just start right away, Gail, because I don't want to take up... I could talk to you forever. I know you as a friend, and I don't think it's you all are talking, but I got to ask a couple of quick questions, and then we're going to go straight to these lines. The first question I want to ask you is, how did you start in track and field?
Oh, gosh. You know what, my brother, when we were growing up, I grew up in Nashville City, a suburb of San Diego, California, and my brother would make me race him and everybody else in the neighborhood. And I always tell people he became like the Don King of track and field for us in our neighborhood, where he set up match races. And it kind of just went from there. I raced all the boys in the neighborhood because no girls wanted to race me. And then when we got to high school, because I actually did not formally start running until I got to high school, and he made me run, and that's kind of how I got started.
Well, did he put money down? Was this like a business for him?
He is an entrepreneur for real. Yes. Now, he was making money. I didn't get my cut. I'm still waiting to get my cut. But, yes, he was making money, the deal and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're probably beating everybody, so I'm sure he was making a lot of money. And you gotta find out where your commission went.
I'll do that.
I'm going to ask you one more question, and then we're going to hit these phone lines. You've been in many Olympic Games, and it's really a tough one to ask, but what was your favorite Olympic game?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. I would say my favorite Olympic Games would be 1992 in Barcelona. And I would say the reason is because that was my second Olympic Games, but it was because I came back from my Graves' disease. And not knowing even before that if I'd be able to walk again and then to be able to represent myself and my country. And, you know, it just was it's something I'll never forget. I mean, they're all significant. They all have, you know, a place in my heart. But that one, for me, marked my return.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that. I remember that race just like it was yesterday. And not only did it mark your return, it solidified you in this annals of history as far as Olympics and women and not giving up, because you just went out there and you were not expected to win the 100.
Right.
You were to win the hurdles, and you came back and won the 800. So we're going to have some kids on the line, but that speaks to the fact that if something doesn't go right, you couldn't just give up and say, you know what, I'm just going to throw the towel in and not going to do this. You had to find something that made you go back and run those rounds. So how did you get it to get back out there? Because I know if I mess up in 800, it takes me a little time to recover. You had no time to recover. Did you get right back out?
Well, you know, and that's what it is. It's even in you know, running 100 in the hurdles, I try to look at each of my races or each of my rounds as a separate race. It's something totally different. Every time I step on the track, it's like the first time. So if I mess up, and I want to say that it also comes from being a hurdler, because I guess I'm a little different. Instead of me looking at the hurdle as a whole race, I look at it as 11 or 12 different races. Although there's 10 hurdles, my first race is from the blocks to the first hurdle, and then the hurdles, each hurdle in between is a separate race, and my last race is from the last hurdle to the finish line. So I have to be able, if I'm in a race and I mess up, I have to be able to recover quickly. And so that's kind of like that same philosophy that I basically take through everything. My little quote that I always tell people, take life one hurdle at a time. And for me, that means that things will come, obstacles will come up, but you have to be able to, you know, deal with it as they come, shrug them off, pick the good with the not so good, and keep it moving.
Oh, I have never heard of someone saying that they look at each hurdle as a separate race. You know, instead of looking at the whole 100, you break it down. I guess that's why you were great. You know, no one does that. Well, I don't think they're doing that. So that separates you, and it puts you on a whole other level. We're going to go to these phone lines, Gail.
Okay.
You know the rule, the last four digits of your number, that means I'm speaking to you. So the first one on this evening with Gail Divas will be 1783. Welcome to Check It In with Joe Editor. The show is all about you. Do you have a comment or question for Gail?
Good evening. I have both. Well, first I have a comment from one Yolanda to another. why we never heard that name used before. And secondly, you mentioned that 1992 was your favorite Olympics. I wanted to know, with the span of the Olympics that you participated in, how do you feel you changed or grew as an athlete and a person over that period of time between each Olympics?
Okay, I'm going to answer the last question first. I think with the span, you know, it's four years between each Olympic Games, and I think you have to grow and try to learn more about your event, learn more about yourself as an athlete, as a person. You figure out when the going gets tough, or what I figured out is that I'm tougher than I kind of thought I was, because when the chips are down, I found a way to keep it, and I always say it's that inner strength. I want it to be not just in my sport. I wanted to be dominant in my sport, and I wanted longevity for my sport. I say that you're as good as your last race, and so I want my last race to count.
I'm looking for ways to get in better shape.
The name Yolanda, I was born Yolanda Gail Divas, but I will tell you why you don't hear that name. It's because legally that's not my name anymore, and I'll tell you why. Not that I don't love it, but when I ran, everybody just called me. When I grew up, they called me Baby Petey, which is my brother's initials. So I was never my own person. Some people when I was in elementary school called me Yo-Yo as my nickname. But as I got older and I started running, everyone in my family always called me Gail. I've always been called by my middle name. And so when I went to Europe, and Joanna, you can speak for this, when you go through customs and you come in, you know, track and field was very popular in Europe, and back in the 80s, it was more popular there than it is here in the States. So even the customs officers would know my face as Gail Divas, and then they look at my passport that said Yolanda Gail, and they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't see Gail. They just saw Yolanda, and they would stop me, and I'd be held up for a long time. And I was very, when I went to Europe, I get in and get out. I got there, if I had a race the next day, I would try to get in as late as possible because I had insomnia, so I didn't sleep. So I didn't want to just be there with idle time. So anything that was held up, I'm one of these people that I write notes. I have a schedule for this, and even when I competed, I had bathroom breaks scheduled into the time that I left my hotel to get ready to run. So anything that held me up, held me up. And them holding me up over my name was a big issue for me, and my mother finally said, why don't you just get rid of it? Nobody ever calls you that. Everybody calls you Gail. So I legally went through the process, and I'm legally just Gail Divas.
Okay. I always hated yo-yo, so I don't blame you. But thank you.
Plus, nobody ever said it right. My math teachers call me Yolanda. That's not my name.
I got that.
So you understand.
Yes, I do. Okay, good night.
Thank you, Carla. For those continue to listen, we're going to talk about Gail's book, So we're going to also want you to go out and get it. So it'll be a great holiday gift, but we need you to hold on, and we'll come back to you maybe a little bit later on. Thank you. The next call online will be caller 7131. Caller 7131, welcome to Checking In with Joetta. You're live with Gail Diva.
Yes, Gail, this is Sharifa Barksdale. How are you?
Hey! How are you?
Fine. My question to you is, do you think that your children will run track, or have they started looking at any type of sports?
You know, my kids do not run track as of yet. You can tell they have field day at school, and they're like the fastest in the class, the fastest in their grade. You can already see it. I mean, they've had their little races, but that's the only thing that they've ever done formally, other than last year I had to do a clinic for USA Track and Field, and they came and they participated in that event, which was, it's just about fun. I didn't start until I was 15, which most people are like, oh, my gosh, that was late. But, you know, for me, it was about, they know right now their job is school. And there's plenty of time for that. Plus, I just don't want that pressure on them for people to say, oh, are you as fast as your mom? My little one always has her, she's got that mouth. She's got a smart comeback. She's like, I'm already faster than my mom, so it doesn't really matter. So, you know, as long as they keep it in perspective. But you can tell. People see them, and they're like, oh, my gosh. I mean, they're quick. I've had to take them out to the track for, especially Legacy, my youngest one, and to kind of show her, Mommy might be 90, but you and I, we can go at it. I'm not just going to lay down and let you beat me, okay? It's not going to happen like that. So.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
Okay, well, that's good, and good luck on your book, and I'm going to have to purchase it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's nice hearing from you.
You as well. Have a good night.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Sharifa. Sharifa, we have everybody calling into the show, Gail. This is, for those of you who do not know, that was Sharifa Barksdale, who made the Olympic team in 1984 in the 400 hurdle. Oh, ran 100 meter hurdle, but Sharifa ran 400. You know what, Gail? I'm going to take one more call, but before I take that call, because I have a lot of book questions on here, so we're going to go in more details with your book, but just before we take this next call, My Life is Stronger. Can you just give us a brief synopsis of the book right now? Go into more details a little bit later on in the next 15 minutes of the show.
Well, I do a lot of speaking engagements, and a lot of kids will ask me different questions. And so I didn't want to write an autobiography, which I always believe is boring. Like, but what came to me in doing the book was the questions that kids always ask me or people ask me when I go out to speak always makes me reflect back on something else. So my life and story is my life in different stories that people will ask me a question about, were you always fast? And it will allow me to reflect on how I was born or the story that I was told about when I was born or how, you know, what I did when I was little. And so it gives it a different twist, I'll say, but it's still my life.
Okay, well, the book is an easy read, so that's important. It's probably for all ages, kids,
yes,
high school kids, adults. And before we take this next caller, how can they go about getting the book? But now, I know it's a Kindle purchase.
Yes, it is Kindle right now, Amazon.com. And the paperback will be out January 27th in Barnes & Noble and different stores. And my first book signing, which I'm excited about, will be January 31st. So if anyone lives in the Georgia area, the Mall of Georgia, Barnes & Noble, I will be there. Please don't make me stay there by myself. Come out and hang out with me from 2 to 6 on that day. But right now it's online.
Okay. And that's a good thing. And thinking about lines, let's take this next caller. Caller 9464. Welcome to Checking In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. You are live with Gail Diva. You have a comment
on question? Oh, my name is Joe. This is Trey, and I have two questions to ask you.
Okay.
Well, look, young man, before you begin, turn your volume down so we can hear you clearly.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
What is the difference about competing in world events rather than, like, high school or college events? And my second question was, what was the hardest part of getting to where you felt ready to compete?
Now, you know what, I would say the difference for me is that there's probably more people in the stands, to be honest, because mentally I try to place the same importance on every race because, you know, yes, they say the pinnacle of track and field is the Olympic Games, but if I only go out, every time that I competed, I gave my 100+. They say you can't give more than 100% effort, so I always say give 100% and a little oomph, and that'll take you over. And I've never been the type of person to say, okay, well, this is a low key, this is a no meet, I'm not gonna run well, because there's personal goals that I set for myself. And like I said earlier, I want to be, you know, you're as good as your last race, so I'm gonna give it my all every single time. So high school, Olympics, world championships, whatever it is, it's about Gail running out there and competing to the best of my ability. And you said the second part of your question was, tell me that again. My brain was hamstring.
What was the hardest part of getting to where you felt ready to compete?
You know what? That's just knowing. I mean, and do you ever really, really, really confidently know? No. But you know what you've put in. You know, it's no different than I tell my kids. You have a test coming up. If you wait to the very last minute and then you don't get the grade that you want, you can't be upset with anybody but yourself. You know, so it's about, I know that this is my schedule for working out. And did I shrug it off on a couple of days? Did I not do what I was supposed to do? And if you can say, I've done what I'm supposed to do, then you're ready. You're ready. All you can do, you get out there and your goal is, I'm shooting for number one. But as I'm shooting for number one, success does not mean that I have to be number one. It means I have to be the best me that I can be. So it means that if I get out there and I go the best that I can be, I give my 100% in that little oomph. At the end of the day, I look myself in the mirror and I say, did I do everything that I can? And if the answer is yes, I'm successful. And I know that going into a race or going into any task, because I've put in the work, and I know I put in the work, and I can tell an untruth to everybody else, but I can't tell an untruth to myself. And when I look myself in the mirror and I know that I did it all, I'm good.
Okay, thank you. Let's go.
Thank you.
And a nice young man, he even was very polite. That's good to hear, Miss Gail. Just so you post, you call you Gail, but Miss Gail. So that was a fine call. And you said something that was very important. You know, when do you know you're ready to compete? You put all the work in, and when do you know you're ready? And I think that,
right.
You know, you have really well. And also, you talked about the difference between he mentioned high school race, college race, the Olympic Games. You basically said it was all the same. It was showtime, and you put the same effort in it. It was just the stands for more people in the audience.
Right.
That was good. We're going to take one more call before break. Caller 7602. Caller 7602. Welcome to Check It In with Joanna. You're live with Gail.
Hello.
731. Call, you there? Okay, I'm gonna go to another call. Caller 3885. Caller 3885. Are you there? I hear an echo in the back. Hear that? That echo. I think it's something maybe wrong with the line. I'm gonna try one more, and I'm gonna have to check these lines because there's an echo going on. Let's call caller 5505. 5505. Welcome to the show. Live with Gail Divas. Yeah, I'm going to go to a break, and then I'm going to come back here. I think these lines are crowded here, so the break, and I'll come right back.
Okay.
The call-in number for the show is 646-787-1680. That's 646-787-1680. Joanna here, and I want my listeners to benefit from the advertising opportunities on Checking In with Joanna. Please visit joannasportsandbeyond.com to find out more information about how you can advertise with us. If you have a business, or a product, we get over 99,000 hits a month. So if this is who you want to advertise, again, visit JoannaSportsAndBeyond.com to find out more information about how you can advertise on the show. Welcome back to Checking In with Joanna, the show is all about you. I'm live with Gail Devis, and before we go back to these phone lines, Gail, you know, you've had a movie, you've had other books. What makes this book different, your new book, My Life is Story, Stronger? What makes that book different?
Me? You know, first of all, because it was written by me. Other books that have been written were not from me. They were other people who took articles or whatever they took. So this is actually mine. And the difference is that the movie went up to 1992 Olympic Games. And it previewed that there was more to come. So My Life and Story gives you a little bit of what happened before, but it gives you what happened after 1992 with my life. You know, where am I? A lot of people didn't even know I got married, that I had kids, you know, and so it kind of just tells you where I am now in life and what I'm doing.
And I think that is so important. So often the athletes do a great job on the field and in sports, and then they disappear. But that's not been you did well in the field. You've also done well in business. You're raising a family. You're giving back to the community, to the life, and so your life story, Stronger. When you said Stronger, why did you use just Stronger? It could have been another word, but you used one word, Stronger. So what did that mean?
You know, I feel like everything that has happened to me in my life has made me stronger, you know, from A to Z, whether it be from illness to myself to things that I would have to deal with in my family life, struggles, accomplishments, triumphs, everything in life, I think, are learning experiences. And for me, I feel stronger as a person. I feel like, you know, I may be probably one of the oldest parents at the elementary school with kids my age, but I feel like the energy that I have, the passion that I have for just loving everyday life is awesome. I mean, I get up, and if I'm in town and I'm not traveling, I'm at my kids' school. You know, not necessarily in their classroom. I'm laminating from the teachers. I'm taking out small groups for reading and writing, and it's just about giving back. And I feel like my life is supposed to be a life of service, and every day that I do that, it makes me happy and it makes me stronger as a person, just from the inside out. And what I feel on the inside, I'm able for it to just pour out of my pores.
And I think that is so important. You mentioned something, and we're going to go off on the sidetrack just a second, but you said you get involved in your kids' lives, and even though you mentioned at the time that they're not running, they're running a stronger race, which is that of school and educated. So that's important that you are, you know, involved and doing all you can do, difference in their lives and in those other kids' lives, because you have that platform to do that. I'm going to go to the call. All right, caller 5505. Caller 5505 to show you're live with Gail Devis.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes,
you're fine.
Okay. First of all, one of the most impressive races that I think I've ever seen you run, Gail, has to be when you were at NCAA, the UCLA, and your team was trying to win a title. And I think that would be important for you to talk about some of the things you have to do to help your team. And during that year, if I'm not mistaken, you ran the 4x4.
So I did. You're taking me back.
And jump up and run the 4x4. Could you kind of talk about that a little bit? And I have another question to follow. I'll be quiet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, like you said, I've always been a team player. In high school, we didn't have, like, a big team. And when it came down to, like, our league finals and things in state finals, it was me by myself as far as on the female side. So one of my biggest thrills for going to UCLA was to be a part of a team, and that's what it was. You know, you have to do your part. I remember running, I think the reporters used to ask me, do I get tired? I'm like, no, because I had seven, eight events
You know, in high school, we could only run 4 events, but when I got to college, you could run as many as you could. And so I remember warming up and never having to warm down and re-warm up because I was constantly from, you know, triple jump to whatever I was involved in. And for me, the love was being a part of a team. And as a part of a team, you do your part. Everybody does their part. It may not be, you know, because if somebody were to ask me what was, I'm like, I run 100. I'm straight ahead, 105 meters, that's all I do. But being a part of a team, if my coach asks me to do this, I'm going to do it. Now, I may not like it, but I'm going to do it. And then if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it wholeheartedly. I'm giving my best effort. So the race that you talked about at NC's, we wanted to win, you know, and so that's a part of, he said, you've got, and actually in that race, I had injured my hamstring in the, I hit one of the hurdles, and I remember my knee was all banged up, and so I was trying to go to treatment real fast and come back, and I usually run third leg if I have to run the 400, you know, as far as on the relay, just because it's like, you know, like I said, I'm a sprinter. So in the mile relay, just that intimidation of going around the track, knowing I'm going to get booty locked, you know, I'm not like Joetta. Joetta likes to go around. So for me, it was, if I run third leg, I'm good. But he made me run second, which means I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got to remember how to break. I've got to bring it around and keep the lead, you know. So I remember that event, so it's funny that you said that. But for me, it was about doing it for my team, and if I can get some points, that's what I'm going to do. You said you had a second question.
Yes, ma'am. I think the other question I'd like to ask, and I just love to hear you talking, and I'm a big supporter and a fan, and I know you still love I Love Lucy, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes.
That right.
She just came on Sunday Color. So.
But the other question would be, who would you say would be your top three toughest competitors? I mean, you've been around a long time, and it's just interesting to watch you run over the years and see the history that you've created and to watch you just go into the history books. Who would you say your top three competitors in your races?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. You know what? I would say definitely Merlene Audie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to always joke, I'm like, as long as Merlene's out there, I'm going to be out there too. You know, and you can never count anybody out. Merlene Audie was a great competitor. Gwen Torrance, Irina Privalova, and I would say those were the three in the 100 that were just always there. And in the
hurdle. What about Evelyn Astrid?
Well, no, I'm getting to her. See, she's a whole different ballgame. whole different ballgame. Evelyn is, like I told people in 92 when you're watching, I don't care if Evelyn, today, if Evelyn decides to hop out on the track, I'm going to be concerned. Because she was that athlete that just, when you talk about giving your all, I mean, you could see it in her face. You could see the determination. So she's a whole different category. I have to give the three, and then I have to give the queen. Evelyn's the queen. I've always admired her. I remember when I was in high school at the Michelob meet, which was a meet they used to have in San Diego, and she came down and she signed. You know, that's when I was running the 800, and she signed my number. And it was the biggest thrill of my life. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. So she's in a class of her own, you know. And so in the hurdles, I'll say, I remember being in the race when Donkova broke the world record, and it was like a whole, you know, it was like the Eastern Europeans were here, and then it was some other people, and then it was me in the back. But that gave me confidence to say that, you know what, I know what it feels like to be in this caliber of race, and my goal is to keep going. And but I don't know if I can pick competitors, because in the hurdles, it was just definitely there was Olga Shishimajin, what was her name? Sasinaga.
Look at your name.
I have to go way back in the day, because I just remember that they were, for me, my inspiration to be all that I could be. I remember when there was a time that I didn't wait 13 seconds. I kept being like 1301, 1302. And I wanted to get under that point, and watching them and going into races with them to be able to say that, okay, I'm clicking off, you know, seconds of my time, and my goal is to be where they are and to get in the top 10 of, you know, in history. And I used to go over to Europe and get in races where I know I was going to be like, I wasn't going to win, but I was going to learn something. And I think for me, it's also important to learn something from every event that you get into, whether, I mean, I find something that I do positive, I find something that I didn't like that I'm going to go back and correct. So in the hurdles is just that life lesson. I mean, it really is. So I can't pick three. I would say everybody, because every race is something different.
But thank you, Carla, for that question. And you mentioned life lessons. I guess with your book, My Life and Story Stronger, would that also speak to your life lessons as well?
Oh, it does. It does. I think, you know, even for me with my life, the lessons that I've learned, you know, and what I try to teach, you know, not just myself, my children, anyone that I come in contact with, is integrity, morals, values, you know, and that's what we have to have. That's what we have to stick to. We have to be, you know, people say they're not a role model. I think everybody's a role model. I don't care who you are, whether you're on TV or off TV, there's always somebody watching you. You know, and I tell people, I try to be the same person. At home, outside, just at home, I don't have any shoes on, but I'm the same person, and I try to give my all. I try to be fair. I never want to intentionally hurt anyone's feelings, and if I do, it wasn't on purpose, but now I am honest. If you ask, and I tell people all the time, my brother used to say, don't ask her a question if you don't really want to know her honest opinion, because she's going to tell you. I will tell you my honest opinion, not trying to be mean or whatever, but I just think honesty, and, you know, if you look for friends, you look for a friend to tell you exactly like it is, not to sugarcoat it. You know, for me, even marrying my best friend was because he was there for me, and he was that person. Mike is that person that will tell you exactly like it is. Now, you definitely don't want to hear his mouth all the time, but you know that it's out of love and it's out of friendship.
And that's what it's all about, you know, being able to accept the comments. And from a coach, from a parent,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have coaches telling you to do that, do that. You have to trust them and believe in them. And we'll get to the coaching part after these next couple of calls. We're going to go to caller 2642. Caller 2642, welcome to Check It In with Joanna. The show is all about you.
Hello.
Do you have a comment or question for Gail?
Yes, I do. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Hear me? I want to ask you, are you coaching?
I am not coaching.
Have you ever thought about coaching college or professional athletes?
I coached for a little bit, you know, when my kids were young before they started school, because I was traveling, you know, my schedule allowed for me to travel more as far as flexibility. But I've also trained football players, which was an interesting adventure. I actually had fun doing that, training guys coming out of college, getting ready for the combine. And so I've not thought about coaching now or coaching college. That would be something I'd have to put some thought to, but I have not thought about it, to be honest. Let me tell you what I've been doing lately that is interesting. I am totally new to social media. Like really, really new. If anybody, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, and so getting used to, people always say, oh, follow me on my Twitter page or whatever, you know, and for me, that's like a job. Oh, my gosh. It's a job to make sure that, you know, and I'm the type of person that I want to respond to anybody that goes on. I mean, but it's hard to do it all the time, every day, because I have so many other things that I'm doing. But I will say, you guys, help me out on social media, and please do follow me. I know there was a lot of fake ones that were out there. So I always tell people, my Twitter is, and it's funny, it's I'm Gail Devens, because there was a lot of them out there that weren't me. So I'm like, I'm Gail Devens, so that's me. So follow me there. You guys give me questions, give me different things. And then I also have a Facebook page, which is, like, do it. I'm Gail Devens Olympian. So
okay.
I'm out there. You guys, please follow me.
And Gail,
you have that?
I am waiting for your book this Friday that is coming out.
It's out on ebook right now. You can download it on, like, your Kindle or if you go to Amazon.com, you can download it now. The actual paperback copy will not be out until January 27th.
Okay. And I also want to tell you that I have followed you from day one, and I love you, and I always admire you.
Thank you.
And I want you to know that I'm the mother of the Madam Olympian.
Oh,
recognize that voice. I didn't know.
I apologize to A1, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, my love.
Bye-bye.
All the best.
Thank you. Same to you.
Well, she definitely has followed your career, and I saw a number up there. I said, if I don't get it, I might not be good on my phone. So I got
that's
her.
Right. You're gonna that's cute.
I got another caller. Caller 3885. Welcome to Tech It In with Joanna. The show is all about you. You're live with Dale Devis, who has a book out called My Life and Story Stronger, and she will be in Atlanta for a book signing at the Mall of Georgia on January 27th. And looking at your number, caller, I know you're from the big ATL. So hopefully
yeah.
You'll be out there.
Hello. Yes, I definitely will be coming out to support and bring some of our fellow Olympians out. This is Hazel P.T. Clark.
Hey, Hazel.
How are you? And I'm just so excited to see all that you're doing and really excited for the launch of your book.
Thank you.
Something I always like to ask Joetta and other Olympians who were able to compete in the Atlanta Olympics is, can you tell me a little bit about that experience competing at home and kind of just what it felt like, you know, being able to compete around family and friends?
Now I didn't live in Atlanta at the time, but I will say on home turf is a big plus. Plus, you know, when the Olympics were here in 1996, everybody made a big deal about, it's going to be so much traffic, it's going to be a big nightmare. And I have to be honest, it was an awesome experience. It was great. I mean, to the point that I was like, I got to stay right across the street at the hotel because they're talking about so much traffic. There wasn't any of that. I mean, everything could get around the city. The fans were great. Even in light of, you know, the incident that happened there in Centennial Park, no one let that stop them from what we were doing, and we were united. And it was just, you know, for me that was significant because that was me coming back and winning my second gold medal in 100 meters. But it's like home turf. It's like you said, whether your family is there or not, when you're overseas and you're in Europe, there are, you know, you know that your family is there with you in spirit. But when you're in the United States, everybody is your family, and they are there. They are rooting for USA because you have those three letters on your chest. And it's kind of like somebody's going to come to your home and beat you at your, you know, for me, I play skee ball and Miss Pac-Man. Nobody's going to come to my house and beat me at Miss Pac-Man. So that's kind of how it is at the Olympic Games. When you come to the Olympic Games and it's in my backyard, you got to take a step back.
I love Miss Pac-Man, too. I have one more question. If you could give one major piece of advice to other, I guess, athletes or just people that are transitioning in life, because as athletes we do have to make a major transition when we retire, what advice would you give?
You know, just like if you see the cover of my book, it's me in the city of Atlanta with one foot is in my spikes and then the next foot I step forward and it's into my spikes. And it's that you prepare yourself to know that there is, you have to prepare yourself as you're in track and field to know that there is life after track and field. And it may not be when you want it to be. So you have to always be prepared because as athletes, we know we can get injured and it can be life-changing. We can have an injury or an illness that can be life-changing. So what is it that you want? I always tell people track and field is what I did. It's not what I am. What I am is a child of God. What I am is someone who loves life. What I am is a businesswoman, whether it be on the track when I was doing that. That was my business. That was my job. And so the same, you know, the thought of what gets you there keeps you there, that same premise of that hard work and that determination, that never giving up attitude that you put into your craft in track and field, you have to understand and be willing to work at anything else that you want to do, whether it be on or off the track, and you will be successful. It doesn't mean it's going to come easy because anything that's worth having is worth working for. But just know that you were willing to work all those years to get up extra early, to go to bed extra late, to hone your craft in track and field, and you can do the same in life. So that's
I like
about
it.
For me. Now you got. Now you're in Atlanta. So now the book actually comes out, meaning that you can go into a Barnes & Noble and buy the book on January 27th. But I will be at Barnes & Noble or the Mall of Georgia on January 31st on a Saturday. So nobody has an excuse. I will be there from 2 to 6. I want everybody to come out because this is my chance to be able to see everybody. I mean, so, I mean, seriously, come out. Let me know you're coming out. I will definitely be there. And as you can see, I like to talk. So we will chit-chat and have fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
And that's what it's all about, all the Olympians and athletes and people. Pedro does a lot of camps down there. Get on your Facebook, tell those kids to have their parents take us to the mall on January 31st through the 6 p.m. Meet the great Gail Divas, and more importantly, to get your book. And she'll sign all the books as well. I've got to take some other callers and just take a break. But thank you for that call. The next caller we're going to go to is caller 9343. 9343, welcome to Tech It In with Joanna, the show that's all about you. Do you have a comment or question for Gail Divas?
Yes, hi. I would like to know, what do you miss the most about being a professional athlete? And if you could be a world-class athlete any other sport, what would it be?
Mm.
You know what?
That's a good question.
Okay, now, what do I miss the most? You gotta tell us that someone has their sound up. So whoever has their sound up on this call, they have to turn it down because it's messing up the feedback with the other caller. Okay.
Okay, I turned mine down too. So you said, what do I miss the most about being a professional athlete? I actually don't miss it. What I've become now since I've retired is a fan of my sport. You know, when I was running, like I said, I was very detailed as far as I timed everything out. Now I actually get to enjoy. You know, I travel to all these cities and countries, and, you know, when I go there now, I'm going to sit in the stands. I'm going to watch. I probably get nervous now watching other people compete more so than I did when I competed myself. But it's being able to enjoy. You know, I always said that I wanted to, when I'm 60 or 70 years old, I want to be able to sit up in the stands and watch a great track meet. And I love, you know, I went to trying to support Hazel, who had just called in. They have some meets here throughout the states that they're really trying to push track and field. And so we have to support that. So I don't miss it. I love now that I can appreciative that I was able to do what I did when I competed for as long as I competed. And now I'm happy that those who are younger than I am are out there, they're doing their thing, and I want to support them to help them accomplish the goals and the dreams that they have for themselves and just be a part of a sport that gave so much to me. Now, your second question, you asked me if I could be any other sport, what would it be? I always thought I'd be not that I'm a great skater, but I would have loved to have been a skater. I mean, just the power and the gracefulness. I don't know if I could put the two of those together. I've got the power, and I don't know about the gracefulness, putting that with my little triple foul cows and stuff. But I love watching that sport. I mean, I like gymnastics, but I don't see myself flipping over stuff. But skating, I just think it's a graceful sport, and I think that the power and the speed, if I could get it where it was supposed to be, I think that would have been another sport that I would have enjoyed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. And, Gail, I'm glad that you did not go to those sports. You've given us so many great memories in the 100, in the 60, in the 50, over the hurdles, on the 4x1. So I think that being a child of God as you are, you were in the right sport at the right times, and you were just a testament to a hard worker, serious faith. Those of you who watch her, you saw
the face. Everybody talks about my face.
Yeah, she was serious. You was Gail had a game face on. It was, you know, was on the. You know, I knew something was getting ready to go down. If she was gonna lose, but with a fast time, an American record, a world record, a meet record, some kind of record was gonna happen. But let me not reminisce. I'm about to go back to these phone lines. See, that's what happens when you have a fan and a friend on the line. We talk reminiscing, but we're going to go take some more calls. Call us 7602. Call us 7602. Welcome to Checking In with Joanna. The show is all about you. Do you have a comment or question?
Yes, I do. This is Southern Nick calling from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh. He said Southern Nick. Do you remember that name?
Say that
Gail?
Again.
Huh? He said it's Thunder Nicks. Do you remember that name?
Oh, okay, yes.
I'm funny.
Yeah, I know who this is. How are you?
I'm doing very well, ma'am. You speak so very smooth and very eloquent. You speak very, very well. Very well.
Thank you.
And that's watching you run. I remember those meets you running, and you showed a lot of perseverance, a lot of character. My second question is, why did you pick UCLA?
Wait a minute. Now we got to stop. Now you said that like that's a bad thing.
Where'd you want to go? To IU, where you went to school?
No, I just want to watch you with UCLA because if I were living in Westport, I would probably go to UCLA because Bobby Curtis, in my opinion, he's a tremendous coach.
Right. Well, you know what? When I graduated, or my senior year, Bobby was not there. He was not the coach.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, see? Got to read the book. See there? He was not the coach. And I was not recruited by Bobby because he was not the coach. And and right before I was to sign my letter of intent, or actually I had already signed my letter of intent, they had some changes going on, and then I was given the option to bow out and go somewhere else because it was, you know, a different situation. And I just prayed on it. I prayed on it. And I just asked God. My parents did not make that decision for me. They said, it's, you know, your decision. Wherever you go, that's where you stay. And because we're not, you know, we're big about not being quitters. If you start something, you see it through. And I just thought that from the prayers that I put out there, the answer that he gave me was that that's where I was supposed to be. And just looking back now that you asked that question, I know that, you know, that was the right decision for me. And then being under, you know, the tutelage of Bobby and all that he helped me to accomplish was just right on time, you know. And even with what I'm doing now, you know, like you said, I said it earlier, everything is like a life lesson. You know, I'm developing student athletes, mentoring programs, counseling, because it's, you know, I was coached by Bobby, and then I moved on to coach myself. And so it's one of these things that, you know, he mentored me. He allowed me to spread my wings, so to speak. And I think that we have to give back and help other people. I mean, there's other athletes that are out there that, if nothing else, they just need a word of encouragement, you know. And that was one of the reasons why I really started, like, social media, because I wanted to be able, that's the easiest way to interact with everybody, to be able to give back, to say words of encouragement to, we got some great hurdlers that are out there now, and to be able to let them know that I'm in their corner, and when I can, I want to come to your practice. I want to come and support you at your meets and stuff like that. And then younger athletes even coming up, those who aspire to be those that they see on television, I think that it's important, and it's our job as the elders to do what we can to, you know, just to be there as a shoulder to lean on and to say, hey, I've been there. I know where you're going, where you are, and when times get hard, that, you know, I will help you. You know, it's kind of like my favorite poem is Footprints, and I understand what that really means, that there's somebody there that's going to help you through the hard times that you have in your life.
Okay.
Well,
tremendous
fun to thank you to the show. It's been a long time since we've, but it's always great. I think we've had about 4 Olympians on the show. But,
yes, oh, my God.
Them all out the woodwork. And thank you very, very much for that call. You know, it is Christmas time, Gail, and you have a great book out. Right now it's on Kindle, and the book is called My Life and Story Stronger. And right now you can get it at Amazon.com for your Kindles. But as of January 27th, you'll be able to go into any of the Barnes & Noble to get the book. And on January 31st, those of you who are in the big ATL or close to it, or the drive, to go to the Mall of Georgia. We're going to do some shout-outs when that time comes, Gail. So we're going to make sure you have a big crowd for you. So it is Christmas time. I'm going to take this, play this, and take a break and come right back to you.
Okay.
Don't you get me on that job about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Go to shake, go to shake, go to make it, go to rock shop.
Welcome back to Checking In with Joanna, the show that's all about you in the Christmas spirit. I decided to play a little small Christmas rap. It wasn't one of the most sentimental raps, but songs, but it was a the old school. So, Gail, I'll play that for you. We have a couple of calls on the line. We have some calls on the line. Call it 2916. Call it 2916. Welcome to Checking In with Joetta. Be sure that's all about you. Do you have a comment or question for Gail Divas, who's live with us this evening? Oh, you there? That's a 512 area code. Are you there? Call it 2916.
Yes. I have a couple of questions. My name is David Patrick from Austin.
That's about it.
My goodness.
I knew I heard about this, and I said, is this Eastern time or Central time? So I'm glad I was able to get on and speak a little bit. But one of the things I want to ask, which I thought about you, Gail, about a month ago, you still watch I Love Lucy?
Well, without a doubt, Sunday they had I Love Lucy in color. Don't be jealous. So, yes.
I thought about you about a month ago. And then the other question is that, you know, I guess as a hurler, how do you, what is that, I guess, for that mindset that you got to have to try to run fast between the hurdles without saying, okay, if I run too fast, I'm going to fall?
You know what, it's one of those, it's all or nothing. You have to be willing to go to the wall and through the wall. And just know, you know, I got a lot of criticism when I did run that people were like, well, you know, your speed is what's messing you up and that's why you're hitting. And I wouldn't do anything. If I had to live it all over again, I wouldn't do it any differently because my speed is what got me where I am, you know. And the clock stops when you get across the finish line. They're going off of speed, not cuteness. They're going off of speed. And so for me, it's being able to take whatever my fastest time is and be able to execute and negotiate the hurdles successfully. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, but it was all a learning experience that I could come back and say, okay. You know, even in some of my best races, I've not had a flawless race ever. So the mindset for me is just get out there. I want to be the first one to the first hurdle. I want to be the first one to the second hurdle. These are all separate races to me. And it's just being willing to just run. I mean, if the thought is if you were able to remove the hurdles, and this is kind of how if you were to say you have a fear, because a lot of hurdlers have that fear of falling or whatever, but
right.
If you were to stand on the line, I remember one of the first races that I had, you stand on the line, and do I feel fast? Yes. Do I think I'm faster than most of these people that are out here? Maybe. But what separates us is that hurdle, you know, because anything can happen. But if my goal is, okay, if we remove the hurdles, I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned about flipping or tripping or whatever. So when I'm running, I'm thinking that I'm running a sprint. I'm a sprinter, and, I happen to have to go over an obstacle. And by the time I think about that, I'm already at it.
Okay.
Well, thank you, David, for calling in. I'm glad we got you in on the show.
Yeah.
David, what is this? In 1992, in the 400 meters, and his wife as well is an Olympian and a champion also. So thank you very much. We're going to take some more calls. But remember, David, Gail has a book out. It's called My Life and Story Stronger. It's available on Kindle right now, which will be on Amazon.com. But starting January 27th, it'll be in Barnes & Noble. You can get the hard copy. So to visit that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And tell CCCL. I tell her I said hi.
Just one second.
We don't have 1 second. We only have 35 seconds left in the show.
Okay.
And Sandra.
Hey, Patrick. How are you?
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good. It's nice to hear you guys.
Great.
Wow. We got 1 minute left.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Fates, 482, Michael Fates, welcome to the show. But basically, Michael, our time has run down. We can't take any more calls. But Gail, thank you very much for coming on the show. I'm going to have you back on the show.
I was going to say, I got to come back on. I'm having fun.
Absolutely. We have to have you back on. You can visit Gail at Twitter. Will be I am Gail Divas, and you can also visit her at her Facebook page, Gail Divas Olympian. Remember, get that great book, My Life and Story, Stronger, and it will be available at Barnes & Noble on the 27th of January, but it's out now on Kindle. I am Mam Olympian, and you can listen to Joanna, checking in with Joanna, that's live. We'll see you next week, and remember, it doesn't matter what role you take. What matters is that you continue to take the turn to be successful. I'm out. Thank you.
Why can't you work and talk?
Well, I left us there to feel that thought.